Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the days are long, warm, and lovely. And we have a lot to talk about today. As I so often do, I'm going to start us off with a prayer, and this comes from the book that I wrote on prayers, Real Prayers for Real People with Real Problems, and reminds me a little bit of a quote from Goethe, which says, "To think is easy, it is hard. But the hardest thing in the world is to act in accordance with your thinking." Most people live in cognitive dissonance, and they do not live what they say they are and preach. So let me start out, Father. I'm not where I want to be, not even close. I'm not the person I want to be, nor the person I am capable of being. Even worse, the gap between the two increasing rather than diminishing. If I'm being honest with myself, which I routinely try to avoid, I consistently and repeatedly excuse my poor behavior and my poor attitude. I don't like myself the way I am. I'm a pathetic substitute for what I should be, for what I know you want me to be. Lord, I don't want to be like this. I want to be different. I want to be your person, your guy. And I ask that you help me with this. In Christ's name, amen. Now, I have Dr. Robert McGee on the line. And Stacy, how are you all today?
I'm fantastic up here in lovely Illinois. Beautiful weather, bright sunshine.
Hi, Jack,
and
Robert,
I can, absolutely. And down there in Florida, let me guess, it's just hotter than blue blazes. and when the temperature and humidity are in the high 90s, you get so lethargic, so is your IQ.
Well, you know, the thing about it is that it has rained here every blooming day that I've been here. I mean, it's okay in the morning, and then there's just rain. And so there it is. And so I guess God knew I needed to be rained on. I've been thinking about what we could talk about today. And I have sort of an unusual topic, I think, that most Christians don't think about. It's called the tyranny of the expert. All right?
This sounds like this one could be on my political show.
Well, it might be. but actually, it goes a lot of different ways. All right? The tyranny of the expert in the life of Christians today is when you're always looking for some expert to tell you what the truth is. And so, therefore, if there's something wrong in your life, you don't go to God and ask him what's going on. You go to some expert that find out what he thinks is going on or she thinks is going on. And for some people, you're not really an expert unless you have a PhD or an MD behind your name, right? And I lived with some folks for a while who will be nameless for my safety and health. And every time something came up, the question was, well, who said it? You know, what kind of education do they have? et cetera, et cetera. And it locks us in. I mean, there's all kinds of things. I was talking to my youngest son, Morgan, earlier this afternoon, and he said he was reading, when he was in college, this book. And this book made this pronouncement. And the pronouncement was that men and women are different, right? Now, that may not sound like much, but that means they thought they had discovered something, which means that for a long time they had been teaching these heads full of mush that there was no difference between men and women, right? But because they were experts, people accepted whatever they said. And we see it all the time in Christianity. Someone comes up to you and says, would you pray blah, 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 whatever it is they want you to pray? And I've always thought, how about you praying that? All right? I mean, God does not differentiate between people. And he would just soon all his children come before him with a great deal of boldness and pray to him about what it is that he has allowed them to have on their mind. But do you see the point?
Robert, it's funny when you're saying this. It's, you know, for years I was a consultant for Christian Ministries. Years. And, they would have a project and they would have these things and they would fly me in and I would go meet with their leadership team and then give them some, direction based upon the experiences that I'd had over the years. And there were numerous times when I would tell them something that, and, just later in the day, someone who was very much an underling said, well, I told them the same thing 3 weeks ago, and they didn't pay a bit of attention to me. And I thought, well, since they were paying me $1,000 a day to fly in and be erudite, it's obvious that they would believe me rather than somebody who actually was there hands-on and knew what in the world they were doing. But I was grateful for it at the time.
Especially the $1,000, right?
I'd like to have a few of those, again, if you'd like to know the truth, but they're not easy to find anymore.
Well, I mean, the point being is what I've seen in all kinds of different areas, but especially among Christians, they just don't have any kind of sense of being special to God, that God's going to talk to them, that God's going to lead them, that God's going to take care of them, et cetera, et cetera. And they want somebody who's a little bit further up the food chain to find out what's going on. And the thing that really has set this off in my mind is that I lived with some people for a little while, and they were always going. This was always a big deal. If I said, well, for instance, if you take a look at a lot of the news reports now, it's becoming more and more common for people to say the sea ice, which supposed to have been melted, is now back, right? And it just flummoxed the experts because their theories on global warming would have held that the sea ice, especially at the poles, would have disintegrated. And so you bring this up to people, they go, well, that can't be. That's already a settled fact. Oh, yeah? By whom? By the people who get their living from pronouncing these things? You see what I mean? But because they were experts, that's how they sold this nonsense. And it's just thankful that we have been so poor as a country in some ways, that we haven't bought and spent a gazillion dollars on trying to solve a problem that's not a problem. In fact, the people who are actually officially in charge of recording temperatures discovered not long ago that one of the problems they had with the recording of temperatures and the fact that they were higher than they thought they should be or they thought they had recorded before was because they were putting their temperature gauges near heat-producing phenomena, such as cooling towers and places that would be commonly hotter because they were producing heat, right? So in the last few years, what they did is they scattered these reporting stations out and away from whatever was the heat producer, and they had discovered that, gosh, we're cooler than we were since, I think it's 1930. See, 1930.
You know, interestingly, in South Georgia, they used to have orange groves 80 years ago. Orange groves. And then it started getting colder and, you know, killing the trees. So they kept going further and further south. Now, Florida was the orange state, and, you know, Orlando was filled with that area with orange trees and even above. And now, because of how cold the winters get, South Florida is the only place that they really can comfortably grow oranges anymore. So they 80 years ago, oranges in Georgia. That's a long way from South Florida. And I mean to tell you, anybody that's driven it, and just about everybody in America, in the East Coast anyway, have, Georgia's a big state. And between South Georgia and, you know, South Florida is, I don't know, probably 350, 400 miles.
Yeah,
in fact, many
of the oranges that we have now are actually coming out of South America and even further south, I mean, in Central America, because it's just that's the only place they can really count on the temperature being what it needs to be. But the point being is there's now all this evidence. Now, it used to be that the only – what we've heard, even relatively recently, is that all the experts, whenever you hear someone say, all the experts, you need to grab your wallet and hold on tight because aren't all the experts about anything, right? So the long and the short of it is that in the typical social world that we live in, people have decided that experts have to approve of what you do. Now, I want you to think about that, Jack. How do you think God likes to hear that? Because, hold on a second. I know, God, that you want me to do certain things, but I got to have somebody tell me that's the right thing to do. That's just insanity that we would wait around for somebody to tell us that we were doing the right thing.
You know, and as you're talking about this, it reminds me of Psalm 1:1. You know, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly and the seat of scoffers. And we live in an era where the experts are scoffers. And to have a biblical worldview means that you're archaic and really ignorant. So you and I are ignorant, and so are you, Stacey. You get to be ignorant by proxy because you're around us. So, but, you know, I mean, it means in their thinking that anybody who really believes that reality is what God says, and that everything else is destined to change and isn't real in that sense. It's not eternal. That, you know, that makes us ignorant. And of course, the great experts are all the Democrats, you know, who's in their great wisdom, you know, at the Democratic National Convention, booed Almighty God. And you started out saying, how do I think God feels about that? You know, here's the deal. And I've known this about God, having walked with him for a while. He is just so gracious about almost everything. But when it comes to people putting false gods before him, that kind of gets in his wheelhouse that he doesn't like, and he doesn't tolerate that stuff at all. That's the way I look at it anyway. What do you think?
Well, if we look at what's happening in Israel today in Gaza, with the Arabs firing rockets into Tel Aviv.
Hamas, we are armed and who we are giving money to. So they're buying this stuff using our money to bomb our ally and God's nation. And so that somehow that puts us on the wrong side of this thing, even though we say we're on the right.
Oh, I don't know that there are many people in America that really consider us an ally of Israel, except the believers. The rest of them are, you know, they're just floating with the system. But the one thing that I do know is I don't have to worry about what's going to happen next, right? I mean, you have Obama now saying, well, we need to just back down here a little bit. We need to cool off. I mean, yeah, that worked well in Syria, didn't it? And let Libya and all the rest of the places. No. I mean, look. Anybody who attacks,
hit a reset button in Russia.
I don't think it doesn't matter who's going to attack Israel. They're going to have their head handed to them. And it doesn't matter if we argue about it or whatever. If I were an Arab in Gaza, I would find a bus ticket out of there because the Israelites are not going to put up with this. And quite frankly, there are a bunch of Arabs living in Israel that would support Israel taking very strong actions against Hamas, who are obviously extremely evil people, period. Right? So, you know, it's one of the things I've observed over the years is that Satan always plays his hand in too great an extent. So in the beginning, you think, oh, wow. This thing is really, really dangerous, you know, and my theory is if you know I've known some really nice Arabs before, and I would just suggest them leave the area, all right? Because God, it's not how bright the Israelis are, and it's not really not how moral they are, because they aren't particularly moral people either, all right? I hate to tell people who think that they're wonderful, all of them wonderful. But God has chosen at this time to protect them, and I just wouldn't be attacking these people. But that's just my theory on it. But I want to get back to this concept of the experts, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that people do, and we're about to see this in the market, in the stock market, right? Today, the market came off some, all right? And I have been looking at the markets, and it's not ready to crash yet, right? What's going to happen is there are people who are waiting around, and they don't know. They're making almost nothing on their money that they have as investment money right now. So they're sitting around waiting for something to happen to where they can make some money. And after a while, they get tired of waiting. So today, the markets came off a bit, and Alcoa reported earnings, and reported really nice earnings, right? And I am waiting, and this is just a little advance to anybody who's listening to this. What you want to look at is you want to look at the S&P 500 going past, but not by far, 2100, right? Now, personally, I'm going to, when it gets around 2100, I'm going to put a little bit of money in SPXU. SPXU. This is an ETF that doesn't, it's not like an option that loses all its value over time. It's like a synthetic piece of stock. And the last time the market fell, it went from about where it is now, about the buy of the SPXU was about 45. And by the time the market got through falling, in 2008, it was 1,700, right? Now, I just can't believe more people are not recognizing the fact that this whole thing's been just pumped up by the Fed, and there is no way this is not going to drop down. And what's going to happen is that there's going to be a drop, and people are going to say, there's enough people saying that it's about to drop. But there's a lot of people saying, oh, well, it's only going to drop about 10-15%, then it's going to rally like crazy and go, no, it's not. This time, we may not see these levels in our lifetime. I think there's a chance of that. I think there's a chance it's going to go all the way down to the bottom, and then it's going to bounce around the bottom, which is around 600. Right now, today, it's a little... a little less than 2,000, I think, or right around 2,000. But the SPXU is a triple. For instance, every dollar that the S&P 500 goes off, it adds $3 in value to the thing. It's a synthetic ETF. And that's just a little bit of perhaps help to people, but I
one thing when people have fear of economic insecurity, that's when they turn away from God and look for things to numb their pain, for something to get them through the night, to drink a bottle of wine, to smoke a doobie, to get on the internet and look at pornography,
that pornography thing has to be one of the most foolish activities. It's like nothing changes, as far as I can tell, since Eve was created, right? This is just insanity, right? Leave it alone, you know? It's just craziness. But I think the most crazy thing I've heard was the guy who left his little child in the car with the windows rolled up, and went on into work, and on his computer was sending out pictures of himself to various women. All right.
Well, yeah, this happened right up here in Marietta, Georgia, and you know, like 10 minutes from where I live. And you know, this is the biggest story in Georgia, you know, that isn't a national story. And he took out insurance policies on the child, premeditated murder.
Yeah, it was.
This just wasn't him being a fool. This, you know, which would be bad enough. But, you know, this was his, you know, get rid of the, you know, make it look like an act. I mean, just an awful thing. Awful, awful, awful thing.
Yeah, but think about this. How in the world did he ever think he was going to get by with it? I mean, no matter whether, let's say he didn't take out all the insurance policies, he didn't do all this other stuff. Leaving your child in a locked car with the windows up in the heat of Georgia is going to get you put in jail, no matter if you made any money off of it or not. But it is an example of how crazy the mind can get, and how it allows you to think of doing things which couldn't possibly work out. And so I don't know what the sexting had to do with this whole deal, except it just shows how crazy this guy was.
And how depraved he was, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, just what you were talking about earlier, the in a corporate level, Hamas attacking Israel, where Israel has, you know, the firepower to, you know, put them back into the Middle Ages, which they do routinely.
Yeah, I mean,
so they keep on
Israel has shown tremendous restraint. Well, I mean, yeah, but it's like these kids showing up at the border. Obama knew they were going to show up. His group of cabal out of Washington had already provided for transportation to transport these kids around.
They put out actually in January they Department of Homeland Security put out bids for people to escort children in Central America, you know, without parents, and you know, hiring companies to do this. So this was a planned dramatic event, you know, to overwhelm the system and, you know, to really bring about chaos, create martial law, you know, take away people's guns, and, you know, and we'd have Barack Obama forever. I mean, this stuff is literal tyranny, you know. But my goodness, and in the place, I mean, these there's TB.
Oh,
and
there's
scabies. I mean, it's unbelievable. All, and you know, really, just like we have used to have soup du jour, now we have scandal du jour.
Well, but this is going to
a different one, you know, almost each week and everything. But we got 1 minute left. Stacy, tell everybody where they can go get our stuff.
They can go to our website, which is www.mcgeeandme.net, and that's lowercase letters all spelled out, MCGEEANDME. Or they can call me at 800-460-4673, and I'll be glad to help in any way I can.
And we just want to say thank you, Robert. You can keep dry, go out and do your business early in the morning before the monsoons come. And, you know, Stacy, have a nice time in Illinois. And let me just say this. God, protect America.
Amen.
Protect our people. Protect Christian people. And thank you for being there for us and with us. And we ask your blessing upon us and upon the United States of America. Good night.
Amen. Amen.